Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir Edhamana Madhav Puman Naivar Hatya Bhidhatum Vai Twama Kinchana Gocharam. How are we going to do this? I'll just go on speaking continuously, or I should stop after each line? Well, I'd prefer to go on speaking continuously, but there may be... So I can go on speaking continuously, is it? Okay. Yeah, put the speaker box in the middle, then the most of the ladies here, I would guess, know as much English as I know Telugu, or maybe less. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir Edhamana Madhav Puman Naivar Hatya Bhidhatum Vaitwama Kinchana Gocharam. Translation. This is spoken by Srimati Kunti Devi Maharani to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Lord, Deva, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Here the word exhausted, it's not used in the usual sense. That means that one is physically tired. Physically tired to the point where you just can't do anything more. But it means that you're... it means emotional exhaustion, that you just can't tolerate, we just can't go on with material life anymore. So that's you. I wonder how many devotees who read this, whose first language is not English, they might think that someone who becomes very tired physically, they can approach Krishna, but it doesn't mean that. It means just finished with material life, just had enough. Then you can... Then there's a possibility of approaching Krishna. That's the point. If one is still trying to enjoy this, one has a motive to enjoy this material world, then Krishna cannot easily be approached. He can also be approached. Chaturvidha bhajante maunjana sukritin arjuna artho jignyasur artharti gyani cha bharatarshava. Even persons who have material desires, well, they do approach Krishna, but they can't come very close. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of Krishna by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna, Govinda Damodara Madhava. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. You may see someone who's, "Oh, Govinda, Govinda, oh, Govinda." Sitting comfortably. "Oh, oh, 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 Govinda, oh, oh." So that is calling out the name of Govinda, but not in the same mood as Draupadi, whose cloth was being pulled by Dushasan, and when she called her, "Govinda, Govinda, Govinda." So there's difference in quality. It's calling in helplessness. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely 1, high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, and 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. There are many prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, recorded here in Srimad Bhagavatam. And apart from that, there are many other prayers recorded in other parts of Shastra. Many devotees have composed prayers in glorification of the Supreme Lord, in glorification, in supplication. Often prayers, they are a mixture of glorification and supplication. When there's a series of prayers, as these prayers by Queen Kunti, she praises him. Just for instance, as in the next verse, this is glorification. Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. It's glorification and praise, supplication in the matter of namaha. Twice she says namaha. So I offer obeisance unto you. And he is a kinchana vitta. Namo kinchana vittaya. Obeisance is offered to he who is the wealth of those who have nothing, Krishna, who is beyond the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature, who is Atma Ram, who is satisfied in his self, who is Shanta, peaceful, gentle, and who is Kaivalyapati, the master of the monists. But in the verse which we just read, it is a supplication, a prayer, a request. Please fulfill this request. Now, although there are many, many prayers, not many like this. It takes a lot of courage to pray like this. Give me difficulty. So in that difficulty, I can become more attached to you, Krishna. Almost everyone, at least in this world, who prays to Krishna, they pray to Krishna, remove my difficulty. Increase my material position. Material position is here described. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri. Aristocratic birth. Wealth. Not Aishwarya, I mean not only wealth, but all the trappings that go with it. So that people can... It's not enough simply to be wealthy, but you have to show it off. You have to live in a big house and make sure others can see that you are wealthy. Otherwise, what's the fun in being wealthy? Unless you're the Nizam of Hyderabad. Well, he lived in a big palace, but he was one of the world's, one of history's greatest misers. Roomfuls of jewels, piles of jewels. He lived in a very miserable way because he didn't want to spend any money. Generally, people like to show off their wealth. Janmaishwarya Shuta, learning, Shri, beauty. So clearly, Kunti Devi was possessed of all of these. She was very aristocratic birth. From an opulent background, although she chose to go with her, well, she followed her husband to the forest after he was, or the mountains, after he got the curse which turned him into a rishi, that he couldn't enjoy. He had to live like a rishi. He couldn't enjoy his wives. So he thought, well, I have to live like a rishi now. So she lived with him in the mountain areas. But she's from a background, a greatly opulent background. High birth generally means opulent background. Although among Brahmins it doesn't necessarily mean so. But among Kshatriyas, high birth, it's not enough simply to say, for a Kshatriya to say, my forefathers were very high, that's a Kshatriya, he should live also in a very opulent background. Recently I was in Rajapur, in Navadvip Dham, near to Mayapur. And we were going from the temple to a devotee's house, and although we could have walked, the devotees arranged a van, which in the villages of Bengal means a rickshaw with a goods rickshaw, which people often sit on. In Bangladesh it's called a helicopter. If you ever go to Bangladesh, certain areas of Bangladesh, and they say we're going to go by helicopter, it means a rickshaw with a wooden platform on the back. So as we were going along, the devotee asked the driver, what's your name? And he said some name, Muslim, they're mostly all Muslims in that area. And he then said, Sheikh. He said, yes. So his family name, because I asked him, how do you know he's Sheikh? He said, all the Muslims, they're mostly all Sheikh around here. That means in the past, his forefathers, they were some opulent people. Now, not at all. He's a van driver. Van rickshaw driver. So you may be very proud. We often see that also. People there from they come from an opulent family, and they just can't. They lose their wealth, and then they suffer because it's just below their dignity not to live opulently, and not whenever someone may come to them and ask them, "Oh, my daughter's getting married. Please give something." Because their parents and their forefathers, that's what they did. They're the dānam īśvara bhāva, the quality of a kshatriya is to give in charity. So they give, they don't have it. They have to borrow from someone else, and they go further and further into debt, just borrowing all the time, until they're overwhelmed by the reality of their pecuniary situation. So it should be high birth, wealth, intelligence, education, Shuta, this clearly Kunti Devi. is also well-educated, although we don't hear about her going to school, but doesn't mean that you can't be educated if you don't go to school. Girls, they can be educated at home. So clearly she was well-educated to be able to compose such prayers to offer to Krishna. And Sri, undoubtedly, she was very beautiful also, at least in her youth. Now she's older. So she had all these opulences, but she thought them all an obstacle to Krishna consciousness. Because people who have these qualifications, they generally become proud, if not arrogant, but at least they have the feeling that I'm better than everyone else. They may be gentlemanly or gentlewomanly in their behavior, but they just feel that they're better than that they're above the average person, because that's the situation. We all identify with the body and with the identity that goes with that. So if from birth you've been above everyone else, you feel that I am above everyone else. And if you feel like that, then it's very difficult to approach Krishna in humility. It's easy to approach Krishna when we really feel ourselves helpless. But the Kshatriya, he has to be helpful, not helpless. I'm saying Kshatriya because Kunti Rani is from a Kshatriya family. So he's supposed to be the one who protects everyone and maintains them. He is the Kshatriya is the representative of God. Naranam Chandaradhipam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that among men I am the monarch. So it's difficult for the persons from such a background to helplessly approach Krishna. So Kunti Devi is praying that she's praying elsewhere. She will pray this. Vipada santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagat goro bhavata darshanam yarhi apuna bhava darshanam. Yeah, who can pray like this? Give me difficulty. Give us problems. Give us more and more problems. Let there always be problems. People go to Krishna to pray, remove my problems, and she's asking for more problems. And what problems they've been through throughout their life. The Pandavas. She summarized some of the major things that they'd been through in these prayers. How does that verse begin? Mahagne Purushardha Darshana. How does that verse begin? Mahagne Purushardha Darshana. Vishad Mahagne Purushardha Darshana. Asad Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritchita. Mridhe Mridhe Neka Maharatastrato. Jonashtratas Chasmi Harebe Rakshita. She prays to Krishna. You protected us. Then she just goes through the major difficulties. There are many more. That she saw that Krishna, you protected us from the Vishan, the poison that was administered to Bhim in his youth by the great fire set by the Kauravas wanted to burn them in a house of fire. Vishal Mahagne, then the Rakshasa, Hidimba. Krishna, it seems that Bhima protected from the Rakshasa. But Kunti says, actually it was you from the Asat Sabha. And it didn't seem that that means the gambling match instigated by Duryodhana via the agency of Shakuni. So it seems that Krishna didn't protect. In fact, Krishna later, when he met the Pandavas, said, if I was there, I would have stopped it. But I had to be in Dwarka because Shalva was attacking. Then Vanavas, they had to live in the forest for 12 years. Kritshuta, all is very troublesome. Vanavas, then in the battle against so many great fighters, and then when the battle was over, the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, which was meant to finish off the family line of the Pandavas. So Krishna protected in all circles. She's saying Krishna has protected us. So she's thanking Krishna for that, but she's saying that you haven't done enough. We want more difficulty. You have to give us more. How can Krishna's protected you in all ways? Now you are free to live peacefully and happily. All the problems are solved. So give us more problems. It's a very strange prayer. Then Krishna will have to be busy. Yes, he says, that's what we want. She's saying that we are so weak in our devotion that we require the difficulties so that we can remember you. But if we remember you, then we won't have to get born again. You get free from all difficulties, ultimately free from all difficulties. This is an unusual mode of prayer. But this, the purpose behind it is that we want to be Krishna conscious. So we require difficulty. We want that. So, I was inspired to speak. I mean, I've spoken on this many times because it struck me from the first time I came across this verse. I read it. This is something quite amazing, and still I still find it's amazing. Who will dare to pray like this? Give us difficulty. If you pray like this, well, you can expect to get. But are we advanced enough that in difficulty we will remember Krishna? It may be that in difficulty we'll forget Krishna. We may think that, well, let everything be very peaceful and nice, then I can remember Krishna. If there's too much difficulty, then we may find it difficult to remember Krishna. Some people become atheists. Srila Prabhupada, he gave an example that in Germany, his one godbrother from Germany told him that after the Second World War, whatever population remained in Germany, they all became atheists. Because they were all praying. It's mostly women who were left. Most of the men were killed. Somehow they repopulated, and there seem to be as many men as women in Germany nowadays. But the women were praying, send our father back, keep him alive in the battle, keep our husband alive, our brother alive, our sons alive, and in most cases it didn't happen, they all died. So they all became atheists. So then the British, if they'd have lost the war, maybe they'd have all become atheists. They became atheists anyway, without the help of Herr Hitler. They all became atheists. Well, not all, but mostly. With the help of Darwin and Bertrand Russell and people like that. So, to pray for difficulty, one has to be very advanced, thinking that I will take shelter of Krishna. But we may even ask, well, should we ask Krishna for to give us difficulty or to give us anything? Because that's disturbing Krishna, isn't it? Kunti prays, give us difficulty, because then Krishna will have to come again and again. Krishna, when Draupadi called, Govinda, 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 with her cloth being torn away by Dushasana. And Krishna had to come. And a devotee may think, why should I bother Krishna? Then you may think that, well, Draupadi, she wasn't very advanced. She called Krishna to save her. Well, I haven't seen any Acharya's commentary on this, but in such circumstances, we have to, we shouldn't take that a great devotee like Draupadi is just some neophyte. That would be an offensive way of thinking. And then, in such circumstances, Acharyas, they explain in a manner that we can understand that the devotee is thinking how what is the mentality of devotee? So we could understand that, for instance, Draupadi would be thinking that if Krishna does not protect me in this circumstance, then others will blame Krishna. But should in difficulty, should we pray or should we not pray? This question, I'm speaking on this because one god brother wrote to me about this. That he was in some very difficult situation, and to pray or not to pray. In the difficult situation is impeding his service. So should he pray to Krishna to remove the difficulty or to spare him from the difficulty so that he can go on with his service? Or should he just accept whatever happens as Krishna's mercy? To pray or not to pray, that is the question. To mimic the to be or not to be, that is the question. A famous saying in English from some Shakespeare play, Macbeth maybe. In such circumstances, should we pray? Draupadi, as long as she didn't pray, she was in trouble. When she prayed, Krishna came. There is a story about this. I haven't come across it in Shastra, but I presume that it's authorized because there's a painting of it within the Krishna temple in Udupi. And we know the Madhva Sampradaya, they're very cautious about anything if it's not from Shastra. So the story is that once Krishna had pricked his finger and little blood was coming, and Draupadi, seeing that, immediately tore some cloth from her sari and wrapped it around Krishna's finger. And she gave that little bit of cloth for Krishna, and therefore Krishna in return gave her unlimited cloth when the time came for that. So she showed the example to pray to Krishna in difficulty. We have no shelter other than Krishna. We should pray to Krishna. Now we have no one to turn to except Krishna. This is the attitude has been described by Srila Rupa Goswami, the same, he's the attitude of a devotee that we have no one to turn to but Krishna. That even if there are others who could help us, we'll only turn to Krishna. That is the attitude of a pure devotee. He gives the analogy of a chatak, which is a bird that will be with his mouth open, looking up to the cloud, because he'll only drink water that is falling from the cloud. Once it's hit the ground, he won't take it. He won't take from a pond, he won't take from a lake. If you put a little water for him to drink water, he'll only take water coming. So Rupa Goswami, he prays, Srila Prabhupada quotes this, that's supposed to be for protecting from mosquitoes, but I didn't see there are no mosquitoes here. Virachai mai dandam dina bandho dayang va gati reha na bhavata ka chid anya mamasti nipatatu shata koti nirmalam vanavam bhas tad api kila payoda stuyate chatakena. Payoda, the cloud, stuyate, the chatak is as if praying to the cloud. So Rupa Goswami prays, Dina Bandhu, friend of the poor, do what you like with me. You can give me your danda, your punishment, or your daya, your mercy. Of course, danda can also be daya. But I have no gati, I have no refuge other than you. Like the chatak. 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 It's written chatakena. The cloud, it may not give rain. It may give a thunderbolt. Or it may give rain, just one or two drops. Or it may give a deluge of water. But whatever he gives, the chatak accepts. That's it. Give whatever you give, I'll take. And no other shelter but you. So this is the attitude of a devotee. So this devotee in difficulty, he gave the example, a few examples, of different devotees in different difficulties, how they react. Rukmini Devi was put into difficulty by Krishna. When Krishna said to her that, actually, you made a very bad decision to marry me. Yeah, just, you're a sentimental young girl, but actually I have no caste. The people who criticize me, like Shishupal, they're correct. I have no caste. I was a Vaishya boy, and then I became then I'm pretending to be a Kshatriya. No one really knows what my background is or my parents are. And I'm just a coward. I ran away from Jarasandha. And then Krishna said to Rukmini, but actually you made a wrong decision to marry me, but it's not too late. You can leave me. I'll give you permission. You can go and marry someone else. By this time, Rukmini already had grandchildren. But she was very beautiful. She doesn't get old like you or me. So Rukmini, Krishna was joking with her. But Rukmini, in this difficulty, what did she do? She simply fainted. That's it. She couldn't think how to respond. The friends of Krishna, they're playing with Krishna. And all of a sudden they see a big snake. Huge snake. What would you do if a big snake crawled in here? What would we do? You see, pray to Krishna. We pray to Krishna. A huge, huge snake. His mouth going right up to the clouds with his mouth wide open. And they thought, oh, this is fun. Let's go into the mouth of the snake. That's obviously what he wants us to do. And they thought, Krishna will protect us. Not only did they not pray to Krishna, but in the midst of great difficulty, what is a very dangerous position, they thought it's just some fun. They didn't even wait for the snake to gobble them up. They just walked into his mouth. They're so confident of Krishna's protection. That's amazing, isn't it? When snakes come around here, what do you do? Oh, Krishna will protect. Well, we do find in Bhagavatam also this. That modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarapa hatya. That even a sadhu is happy to see a snake or a scorpion killed. So, that is, even though elsewhere in the same canto of Bhagavatam said that the householder should maintain even snakes that come into his house. But I guess that should refer to non-poisonous snakes. You have to know the difference. Because snakes like cobras are common and dangerous. There are plenty of them all over India, pretty much. Maybe not up in the Himalayas. Maybe not in the cities, but they're dangerous. They can just bite without any reason. Even if you're not walking, sometimes they come in the house looking for someone and kill them. But the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, they didn't perceive. They were so confident of Krishna's protection that they didn't even perceive any danger, even in an extremely dangerous situation. Well, can we adopt that? Or should we adopt such an attitude that we don't react to any danger? No, we should think that Krishna has given us intelligence that how we should react in different situations. If someone calls out, if we're walking and we're not looking where we're going and there's a cliff. And someone calls out, "Watch out!" We shouldn't just go on walking. We see the cliff and we walk and think, well, Krishna saved Prahlad, so he should save me also. We should think that, well, someone has called out, Krishna is speaking through them to warn me. We shouldn't. The residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, they took Krishna's mercy, his protection, for granted. But that's one way of reciprocating with Krishna. But that's not recommended for everyone. Especially if we're living in this world and we have some duty to perform in this world. We shouldn't imitate the cowherd boys. Even we find that when the blazing fire threatened to engulf all the residents of Vrindavan after they came out to the lake where Kaliya had entrapped Krishna in his coils. So it was by the time all that was over, it was late, so all the residents of Vrindavan, they just fell asleep. They didn't go back. They thought, we'll stay there now. for that night. And then they found that in the forest, there's a huge forest fire, and they prayed to Krishna, "Save us, Krishna." So they also prayed to Krishna. They didn't pray to different demigods. They were used to Krishna's protection. They knew that Krishna would protect them. So should we pray for help? If there's some obstacle in our devotional service, just like we may have some health issue which obstructs our devotional service. For instance, we might want to go taking Srila Prabhupada's books door to door, distributing, but we have some health issue, which there could be so many ways in which, due to poor health, we're not able to do that. There may be some severe pain in the back by which we can't carry books, or there may be bodily weakness. So is it right to pray to Krishna to remove this, so that I can serve you in this way? Possibly. We may find some other way to serve. We may take the health difficulty as Krishna's mercy, as Krishna is testing me to see if I will serve him in, or maybe Krishna wants me to serve him in another way, or find some other way to distribute books even with this health difficulty. There are different attitudes that we can take. It's not wrong to pray to Krishna, "Please cure, please help this, that my back may get better so that I can take your books out." It's not wrong to pray like that. But another attitude may be that, well, whatever situation Krishna puts me in, there must be a reason that he's put me in this situation. So why should I ask for that to be changed? Why should I ask for... Krishna is giving me this test. We have the example of Prahlad, who didn't pray to Krishna to protect him, even though he was being tortured and attempts to kill him. One reason for that is that it's described that he was just so absorbed in devotional service, he hardly even noticed all these. He hardly even noticed that he was being put in boiling oil and all these attempts to kill him. He was like a madman, or like it's described, he was like a person haunted by a ghost. He was Krishna Grahagrasta. Graha means a planet which grabs you. So one comes, it seems, under the influence of the planet. So if one is under the influence of the moon, one can become crazy. Or under the influence of Rahu, one can have very, very many difficulties. So Prahlad is described as Krishna Grahagrasta. He was under the influence of Krishna. And so he became oblivious to everything in this world. He would laugh and cry and call out for Krishna in pure love of Krishna. So that's a very high level. When he was asked to by Nrsimhadev, after Nrsimha came and killed Hiranyakashipu, and then Nrsimha said, "Okay, what do you want? Everyone prays to me for something, and you are my very dear devotees, so I want to give you something." That's his position. He's Varadharaj. Maharaj. He's the king of those who give benedictions. So that's what he does. When people come, give them something. So everyone's taking something from him. So what do you want? He asked Prahlad, what do you want from me? You're the most dear to me. All these demigods, they prayed for me to come to remove this obstacle to them, who is Hiranyakashipu. I fulfilled their prayer, but you didn't pray like that, so what's your prayer? And Prahlad's prayer, Yadidasisi me kamang varangs chavaradarshi. Varangs tvam varadarshava kamanang hridya sangroham bhavatas tu vrne varam. He prayed that. First of all, he said, well, don't tempt me like this. Don't try to give me some material desire to tempt me with some material thing. But if at all you want to give me a benediction, then give me the benediction that I don't want any benediction. That I don't want anything in this world. Free me from material desires. That's a good prayer. If we think that, well, if I didn't have a backache, I could serve Krishna better. So, Krishna, please remove my backache. But the backache isn't the main obstacle to our serving Krishna. The real obstacle is our material desires. I mean, physically we can serve Krishna if we have a healthy body. But we can serve Krishna in the best possible way with or without a healthy body if we're free from material desires. So to be free from material desires, so that we can fully serve Krishna purely, that is the prayer that we can make. So, in great difficulty, should we pray to Krishna? We can pray to Krishna, Krishna, please free me from material desires. The difficulty may be given by Krishna, so that we can be free from material desires, because as long as we're thinking this world is very nice, as long as we're aspiring for Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri, the happiness of this world, it's very difficult to call out for Krishna feeling. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Bir Edamana Madhapuran Naivarhatya Bidhatam Vaitwama Kanchana Gochara Gochara. As long as we have material desires, then it's very... we can't call out feelingly for Krishna. So actually we should pray. We should always pray. Actually not only in difficulty, but in all circumstances we should pray to Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhur Das Eranu Das Prartana Karoi Shada Narottama Das. Narottama Das teaches us that we should always pray. Always pray. That should be our habit. That always pray to Krishna. But the prayer may become intense if we feel ourselves to be in danger. But is it proper to pray to Krishna that, oh, my body, now my body is sick? Does that mean we identify with the body if we're asking Krishna to heal it? Well, we may say, Krishna, I know I'm not the body, but Rideham Adyang Sulabang Subur, the human body is the vehicle in which we can serve Krishna. So we can pray to Krishna for the good health. Or we may pray in this way, that Krishna, I know I'm not the body and I can serve you in any circumstance, but I am neophyte and for me it's difficult to concentrate on service. unless I have certain measure of bodily health. One may honestly pray like that. So please give me sufficient health that I can serve you properly. One could pray like that. It might be what you could say is an honest prayer, although it's not on the highest level. But then again, we have to see what is our level. We may pray, Krishna, give me Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri. Give me Janma. Here we can extrapolate that to mean that I will be respected in human society. Give me, may I be respected and opulent and good looking or healthy and have good education and intelligence. Because if I'm like that and I'm your devotee, then many others would also like to be your devotees. So it's a good way of preaching. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this regard that why doesn't Krishna make all his devotees materially prosperous and beautiful and free from all difficulty? He explains that Krishna deliberately puts his devotees into difficult situations so that materialistic people, they will not think that the result of devotional service is to live materially opulent, materially happily in this world, because then they'll never get the real message of devotional service, which is to surrender to Krishna in all circumstances. So there is a kind of preaching which is quite common in our movement, or at least in some parts of it, that devotees should have a good career and a good job, and in this way many people would like to become devotees. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur already torpedoed that idea. Torpedoed means destroyed. By saying that that devotees, they don't want, or Krishna puts his devotees into difficulties so that people will not be attracted to devotional service for the wrong reason. So devotees, that the real standard is to accept whatever Krishna gives us, but and to pray, both things. Should we pray for Krishna to deliver us from difficulty? Definitely we should pray. Our ultimate prayer should be that in whatever situation, we should simply serve Krishna unmotivatedly. And particularly a devotee prays, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha kame. Mama jandani jandanishvari bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kito. He prays that I don't want. It's just like if you, a modernized temple, we can make a suggestion in a modern temple that what do you want to pray for? Everyone comes for Dhan Jan Sundari. So press the button, which one you want. And we'll say the prayers, we'll offer the prayers for you. And if there may be someone that this button doesn't get worn out very quickly like the other ones, praying for mukti. So dhan jan sundari mukti. So dhan means to become wealthy, and jan means to win the election, and sundari means to have a beautiful wife. And there's 1, 2, 3, and button number 4 is for mukti. And that's hardly used, but it's just there just in case someone wants it. Then the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and says, I don't want any of these. What? What do you mean you don't want any of these? There's only these 4. That's what everyone comes for. But no, I only want service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that we only want service without any motive. So that should be our prayer. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us to pray. But yet again, we see the example. The devotees, they may pray. Draupadi prays, save me in this situation. She may pray for that. So we may do. But our real prayer should be, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Rahati Kita. In this chapter, there's another verse in this series of prayers by Kunti Devi. She prays to Krishna again. Atha Vishvesha Vishvaman Vishvam Murte Svarkeshu Me Sneha Pashamimang Chindhi Dridhang Pandushu Vishnishu. She prays, O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vishnus. Srila Prabhupada comments, quoting from the purport to this verse, a pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord. Especially if you're a householder like Kunti and your children are all pure devotees, then to pray for the protection of your sons, it's not the same as a pious devotee whose children are not pure devotees, who has affection for them on the bodily platform. So those who pray to Krishna for the protection of their children, it wouldn't be the same as Kunti asking for the protection of her children, because her children are all great pure devotees of Krishna. But still, she asks for that affection to be cut, as if there's some material affection. The householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So there's it's indicated here that householders have a license to pray to Krishna for some material matters. If their material matters, the attitude of a householder devotee should be that manasa deho geho jo kichumo apiluntu apade nanda kishore. Everything I have, my mind, my body, my home, my family, it's all meant for Krishna's service. So a devotee, he may pray, householder may pray, oh Krishna, you help. Some family difficulty is there. He may do so. But Kunti Devi indicates by asking Krishna to sever her ties of affection from her family members, she indicates that even this may not be the best standard. For those who are pure devotees, everything they do is automatically perfect. Krishna may sometimes, by his yoga maya potency, may have them act in an apparently improper way. Just like Arjuna, he spoke nonsense. How can I blaspheme Arjuna and say that Arjuna is speaking nonsense? How can I, extremely insignificant jiva, say that Arjuna, who's a great devotee of Krishna, was speaking nonsense? Well, I can say that because that's what Krishna said. Krishna himself said that you are speaking nonsense. What is that? Ashochanam andashochans te pragyavadang shabhashase. Gatasuna gutasums cha nanu shochanti panditaha. Said, yeah. What are you talking? You think you're talking like a learned person, but you're talking like a fool. Only a foolish person laments for the body which is sure to... It comes and it goes. So only a fool laments. Vaibhyang masmagamav partha naita tvayabhupajyate kshudrang hridya dobalyam. It tells him, you're speaking like a eunuch. What an insult for a kshatriya. So Arjuna is put in that situation by Krishna's yoga maya. Otherwise, whatever the pure devotees do and say, that is perfect. But it may not be imitated. We have to know what to follow and what not to follow. We should follow the example of the great devotees and not imitate them. We should know what is to be followed and what is not to be followed. That example that the Prakriti Sahajiyas, they will, in kirtan, they will roar and yell and fall on the ground and some will say, you're making a big show, and say, no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. We're just doing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Then you see them, after that, eating fish. You say, oh, why are you eating fish? You're supposed to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wow, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's on such a high level. We can't follow that. So they don't follow what they should follow, and they imitate what they're not fit for. So we should know what to follow and what not to follow. How should we pray to Krishna? We should pray for pure devotional service. We should, there are so many prayers for pure devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us. We should pray Nadhanam Najanam Nasundari Aslishaba Padaritam Pinashtumam. We should at least aspire for that. As Kunti Devi is praying for difficulty, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani prays that you can give me difficulty. The worst difficulty for her is to be separated from Krishna. It's impossible for her practically even to imagine it. But she says that if that makes you happy, let it be. Let that happiness. Let that be my... That will be my happiness if that makes you happy. Nagoni aponsuk. That's the whole point. She doesn't think of her own happiness. She only thinks of Krishna's happiness. So that is the standard to be aimed for. Kunti Devi, she prays, let there be danger, let there be difficulty. We don't know. When the test comes, we shall see. How much have we been tested in our devotional service? If we're subjected to what Prahlad is subjected to, okay, you surrender to Hiranyakashipu and give up this Vishnu bhakti. Otherwise, there's a pot of boiling oil for you. There's a pit with snakes. You go there. Get in that. We'll throw you in that pit. You just have to say that I've give up this Vishnu bhakti. There was a devotee in Russia, that story is told in the book Salted Bread. He was told by the police who had imprisoned him, the officials who had imprisoned him, you just look, all you have to do is publicly, you can go on TV and say, I reject the Hare Krishna movement. Then we'll let you go. And afterward, you can do whatever you like. You can, at least privately, you do your Hare Krishna. You don't do any preaching. Otherwise, you have to stay in this prison. And the prison is practically worse than death. It's such a horrible situation is described. But he wouldn't do it. He said, no, I'm on. I won't do that. And he died in the prison. How many of us are ready for that? We haven't seen. Although the world is very difficult, undoubtedly in many ways, but we haven't seen the difficulties, at least I can say, coming from Europe, this body, that the difficulties that my parents and grandparents saw. My parents, they grew up in a time of great poverty in Europe. Maybe you're not aware of that, but between the First World War and the Second World War was the Great Depression, where there was lack of food, lack of work. Most people didn't wear shoes in the cold weather. It's very great economic depression. And then there was the Second World War. To live in a war, the trenches in the First World War is a most horrible situation. The people just for months. The trench means that there'd be a big field, flat field in Belgium. Flat, Belgium's completely flat. And there'd be a pit dug, a channel dug on one side with the Germans and on the other side the British. And they'd have machine guns and they'd just be like that. And if anyone ever came up, they'd get shot dead. So they just had to, they both remained like that for months. And it was cold and wet, and there were rats running in and out, there was disease, it was boring, nothing to do. And it's like being in prison. If you put your head up, you're likely to get your head shot. It's a miserable situation. Oh, there was also the danger of gas attacks. Poisonous gas. Because you couldn't, each side, well, we heard that only the Germans did it, but probably the British did it too, because they had this poisonous mustard gas that if you breathed it in, then you'd get, if you didn't die, you'd be, some horrible effect, your whole body would be crippled. So there was always the danger of gas attack. If the wind is blowing toward you, then it's likely that the other side will put out this poison gas, and then you have to quickly put on your gas mask. Sometimes they one side would put up the mustard gas, and then the wind would change and it would come back on them. So, horrible situation. Did you hear stories of the Second World War? World War when you were growing up? You did. Still they talk about it. I grew up in the 1960s and it was still very prominent in the consciousness of the older generation. So we don't know what to do. Famine, disease. Some years ago there was this plague broke out in Surat. And everyone was very afraid that... You remember that? Maybe you were quite young at that time. And everyone was afraid that it was going to spread, because plague, it can just spread. It spread all over a lot of the world. How long ago? 700 or 800 years ago. And maybe half the population of the world, at least 25% of the population, was wiped out by this plague. So people were so afraid if anyone came on the train from Surat to Baroda, they wouldn't allow them to get out of the train. People are very afraid this is going to spread and we're all going to die from this plague. So it could happen any time. Some disease. After the First World War, in a few months after the First World War, influenza and virus spread all over the world, and in a few months killed more people than were killed in the First World War. Asian flu, they call it. Blame it on Asian. So we don't know what difficulties we may have to face. So like in this plague or this pestilence, it's just people. You're talking to someone and all of a sudden they start coughing and then within a few hours they're dead. And then there are people all around you just dying and you don't know when it's going to happen to you. How do we react? Will we stay and look after our family members who are dying? During the Black Plague, mostly the people, when they saw their family members dying, what did they do? They just left. They didn't stay to help their family members. So they thought, if I stay and help them, I'll die too. So we don't know what difficulties we may have to undergo. Anything can happen anytime. Kabhi bhi kuch bhi ho sakta. We don't know. Anything can happen at any time. How will we respond? That will be the test. How we react in difficulty. Will we remain Krishna conscious? Will we take shelter of Krishna? One sannyasi god brother related to me, I've told this several times. Actually, he didn't tell me. Someone else told me that he told him. This time he was a sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada had given him sannyas. He'd been in the movement about more than 10 years. Now he's been in the movement more than 40 years, almost 50 years. So they were driving in Delhi early in the morning. And those days, most of the roads in Delhi and most of India were not lighted at night. So they were driving along, and all of a sudden they saw in front of them, just very close to them, a truck with no lights on, driving. And they were just going straight. It was going to be a head-on collision. So the sannyasi called out spontaneously. What did he call out? Jesus, Mary, Joseph. And even though India has so many car accidents, it's amazing that there aren't more. The drivers are very expert in turning the wheel at the last moment. So both the truck driver and the taxi driver turned their steering wheels at the last moment and missed each other by the proverbial half a millimeter. And they drove on. And that sannyasi said, I never said that for more than 12 years. He'd been in the movement about 12 years at the time. He said, I never said that. I never even thought of it. Just came to his mind. So, will we pray to Krishna? Will we pray to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Well, it's not a bad thing to pray to Jesus, but we are supposed to be thinking of Krishna. That is a great advantage of being born in a Vaishnava family. That if you train like that, it goes so deeply into our consciousness that even if we decide we want to be a materialist, the Krishna consciousness will be so deep in our consciousness that when we're about to have a car accident or someone's about to strike our head with a machete, or a tree is cut down and is about to fall on our head, or something like that, that we are likely to call out, Govinda! So if you see a tree falling on your head, call out Govinda. You can also get out of the way. If the tree falls on your head, you may say to Govinda, why didn't you move it out of the way? Why didn't you get out of the way? I gave you two legs. Why didn't you get out of the way? So, prayer, yes, we should pray. Prarthana kores, our attitude should be prayer. What does prayer mean? It means that we feel we're helpless, which is a fact. We are helpless. We may have very strong arms. We may have a big army to protect us. But ultimately, we are helpless. No one can protect us except Krishna. Rakhe Krishna, Mare Krishna, Rakhe Krishna. And the real protection is protection from Maya, from forgetting Krishna. So we should always pray to Krishna. Should we pray in sickness, please make me healthy so that I can serve you? Well, we can pray something like that. There was, when Srila Prabhupada was enacting his pastime of being very sick prior to his departure from our mortal vision, the devotees, they prayed with Srila Prabhupada's approval. We prayed every day in the temple that our dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please, I can't remember how it went, please keep Srila Prabhupada with us, something like that. So we can pray like this. These prayers that we sing to Nrisimhadev, Namaste Narasimhaya, etc. This, Srila Prabhupada instituted this within ISKCON when he was very sick, or enacting the pastime of being very sick. This must have been about 1967. Srila Prabhupada's movement was very new, and it looked like Srila Prabhupada might leave this world, or he might be incapacitated so that he would not be able to actively preach. In which situation, the future of the Krishna Consciousness Movement wouldn't seem to be very bright, because all his disciples were very new, very neophyte. They didn't know very much about Krishna consciousness. He had so many things to teach them. Practically all the time Srila Prabhupada was here, he was teaching. Often very basic things. Not even spiritually basic things, but even materially very basic things. How to live in this world, both from the Vedic standpoint, such as not wiping the backside with paper and pulling your pants back again and walking out after passing stool. You have to wash thoroughly with water and take a bath. Srila Prabhupada had to teach this to people in the West. It's not their habit to do so. Toilet paper, unheard of in India until recently. Now, I'm sure in Hyderabad you can buy toilet paper. Not in Goraipali. Yet. They didn't build a mall there yet. So, material thing, how to deal business matters and everything, Srila Prabhupada. He was always teaching. So, the devotees themselves felt, and Srila Prabhupada felt, that we want Srila Prabhupada to stay. So Srila Prabhupada taught these prayers to Lord Nrisimha for the protection of Srila Prabhupada so that he could stay and do that service.
Of
teaching and preaching and establishing Krishna consciousness. So what's the answer? That will be different for different devotees. We can pray, give me good health so I can serve you better. Or we can take it as Krishna's mercy. Krishna, we shouldn't stop. We should not fail to pray if we think I want to pray to Krishna for good health. It's not that we should not pray at all. We should pray to Krishna. We should go on praying in all circumstances. We can pray that Krishna, somehow you've given me this condition. So that may be your desire. Tatenu kampansu samikshamano bhunjana evatma kritang vipakam ridvagva pubir vidatan namaste jiveta yo mukti padesam dayabhak. That prayer is there that in difficulty we should think it's the karmic reaction that is due to me. Let me suffer it and still I will go on serving Krishna in all respects. One who thinks like that is eligible for Krishna's full mercy. So he may pray to Krishna that let me be cured so I can serve you better. But then we better serve him better. And not just, that prayer should be, if we pray like that, free me from difficulty so that I can serve you better, it really should be not that I'm just wanting to get free from the difficulty because it's difficult, but because I really want to serve Krishna better. Just like taking sannyas. Some may think, well, it's family life, it's just a burden. Okay, let me take sannyas. But if one takes sannyas, one should take sannyas to multiply his service to Krishna. It's not that one should go from a... I'd be better off being a sannyasi because too much trouble being a householder. So, be better. I can have a nice, comfortable room and nice food and everything I need without all the trouble of a family. Then I can chant Hare Krishna peacefully. But if one takes sannyas, he should do so not with the aim of making a more comfortable position to serve Krishna, but that he should be ready to give everything to Krishna, and his service should flourish and multiply. If one thinks the family is too much of a burden, so let me give it up to serve Krishna, then his service should multiply significantly. Because it's a very significant step to take sannyas. So to pray or not to pray? Well, we can pray to Krishna. Krishna, I'm not sure how to pray. How should I pray? That you can also do. Or you can ask Krishna's representative. Often, when we're in a quandary like this, it's very common. Devotees, they pick up a book, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavad, they start to read the answers right there. Like the I King of some Chinese book. You're supposed to get the answer from that. It's not just in Krishna consciousness. Christians, they often say this also, and probably Muslims, right? But they don't have so much a tradition of reading the Quran. In traditional Islam, most of them are not supposed to at all. And actually in Christianity previously, before the advent of the printing press, the Bible was not meant to be read by everybody. In Vedic culture also, Shastra is not meant to be read by everyone. It's meant for the Brahmins. Particularly the Brahmins, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. And Brahmanas are meant to explain it. So, but many Christians, they have that, it's a common thing. They'll say, well, I had this quandary, I had this difficulty. Quandary means dvidha in Sanskrit. I don't know if it comes in Telugu. It means you're not sure what to do.
Yeah,
Sankart. Maybe. Not exactly the same. So, they offer that Krishna will, he'll give the answer. Again, he can give you the answer also.
So Krishna samadhan mayasi.
Any question about this? That's another Telugu word I just learned. Question. Prashna. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that word too. Yeah. How to pray, why to pray. And this is the question today is, should we pray? Vrindavan Chandraprabhu is reminding me that I gave a lecture some time ago, how to pray, why to pray. That was in Salem, was it? Then in Philadelphia, I gave a lecture on the power of prayer. Which is it's a common Christian theme, the power of prayer. God will help you. Sincere prayers will never go in vain. Yes, Srila Prabhupada often said that. As in this purport. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a comment which we can relay to those who say that, well, I started taking up devotional service and my problems increased. And then you can read them from this purport. That's good. That's a good sign. So we can go out and preach to everyone. That, yes, take to Krishna consciousness. All your problems will increase. I've got so many problems. Should I take to Krishna consciousness? Yes. Will my problems go away? No, they'll increase. They'll run away. Who will come? Actually, the only real problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. If we understand that, then we can live peacefully in this world. There are just different degrees of the manifestation of the forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Kita janma hao jatha tuadas, bahimukha brahma janma nahimara ash. He prays, let me be born as an insect if I can be your devotee, as an insect. But I don't want to be born as Brahma if I'm not inclined to serve you. So this kind of aspiration we find from our acharyas. The aspiration is based on the understanding that the only aspiration, the only position that is worth attaining is one of complete dedication to Krishna with no personal desire. And that one's material situation is ultimately of no importance, whether one is a Brahma or a worm is not the point. It's not the thing we should be worried about. We should be worried about whether I can be Krishna conscious or not. That's the standard. That is the Standard means mana or adarsh, the ideal. And it's on this understanding that everything else is to be understood in Krishna consciousness. So to pray or not to pray, that's not the question, because we should pray. But the question should be how to pray, with what attitude. How to pray and why to pray, is it? Why? And what to pray for? How to pray and why to pray. I see, yeah. Yeah, that story. Some may not believe this because it's not written down anywhere. But I heard this many years ago. That Srila Prabhupada, once he was a devotee, saw Srila Prabhupada very intently praying to Krishna, Radha Landanishra. I was told this in the temple of Radha Landanishra, in very place at the time. So a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what were you praying for? Srila Prabhupada said, I was praying that I never fall down. Then some days later, that same devotee was present when Srila Prabhupada addressed a group of disciples and said to them, any of you can fall down, but I cannot fall down. And the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, then why were you praying that you won't fall down? And Srila Prabhupada said that because I'm always praying that I won't fall down, therefore I won't fall down. Hare Krishna! Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimati Kunti Devi ki jai.